We don't call it Tonglen, we call it active compassion in the CCT program. So if that term is not a familiar term to you, I do apologize for using the term as if it was a commonly accessible term. Tonglen is a Tibetan word for this practice that we do. It's really a practice of literally, in terms of the meditation, of taking in suffering, breathing it in literally in the meditation, if you're visualizing and breathing back love, compassion, goodness, relief. So it's this very simple practice, just in terms of the mechanisms of breathing in and breathing out, breathing in suffering and breathing out compassion, love, relief. It means, I think, I'm not a translator of Tibetan, but I see it translated as sending and receiving, giving and taking. So I mean, that's what the word means. So you're taking in. I don't like taking in as the actual description of it, but you are breathing in suffering, difficulty, and breathing out the compassion. To me, this is like the ultimate of the counterintuitive processes in terms of the compassion cultivation. And I think I've framed it this way several times in the course. The whole process to me has little bits that are counterintuitive. First, just sitting and doing nothing is somewhat counterintuitive to many of us who are doistic or in a doing culture, right? Like, I'm supposed to like take time out of my day and breathe? Come on, that's counterintuitive. I'm not producing anything. And then there's this idea that we're not only are we supposed to like be mindful, but we're also supposed to start like willingly and consciously tuning into suffering. It's like, no, I spend all of my time resisting that, right? Now I'm going to consciously, if I have 15 minutes of my day to meditate or whatever, I'm going to spend some of that like thinking about my suffering or my daughter's suffering or somebody else's suffering. That's counterintuitive, right, to me. And then it kind of goes from there. And then not only am I going to start developing more compassion, but I'm going to start like developing it for people I don't know and for assholes and for people who do awful things and tyrants, or as we broaden compassion. I mean, at least the Buddhists, they mean like broaden. They mean go for it. But no, that's counterintuitive. I mean, I rub up against that every day, you know. This most recent shooting, which will likely be eclipsed in 2 days by the next shooting. It's just like, I can't do it. I can't have compassion for all of this. So that's counterintuitive. The fact that I should, or it's somehow good to do this, to open my heart to all this. And then it's counterintuitive that, yeah, doing that, it's actually a good thing. I mean, in terms of the belief system, at least of the tradition, and then the science is sort of indicating that, and I'm very cautious about over-pushing the science. Science has not demonstrated that if you have global compassion for everybody, I don't think anyone's measured that. But it is showing that like this process of compassion is actually triggering positive affect in the brain, which to me makes no sense the way I was raised, right? Like, by willingly exposing myself to suffering and cultivating a particular mindset, I'm actually promoting my well-being or something like that. And then Tonglen takes it to the next step, active compassion. But not only am I like being mindful of suffering and attempting to cultivate compassion, I'm taking it to the next step. I'm like, all right, bring it on, in a sense. My teacher, Margaret, says this step is, we're like saying, whether we acknowledge it or not, it's there and it's affecting us. So I'm just going to lean in. That's the way she describes it. It's leaning in. Very gently, though. That's why I like to introduce which Thupten Jinpa won't do. In the act of compassion practice that we do this week, officially produced CCT meditation, it's the loved one, basically the practice we did in week two, and then we add this component to it. But often, at least sometimes, when we encounter suffering, our hearts doesn't necessarily open. Sometimes it closes, or we experience distress, overwhelm, etc. And then the practice doesn't work. So I think reframing it in terms of the self-compassion piece can be really helpful if you're going to keep working with the practice. Because your heart really has to be open to do the practice. Otherwise, how am I going to breathe in suffering? So I think it's a really wonderful practice. It's portable. Sharon Salzberg uses that term in terms of the mindfulness of breathing. It's a portable practice. If you learn it, you can do it anywhere. It can just pop up in a meeting and anywhere, you know, good situation, bad. And this practice is the same to me in the sense that, because it's using the breath as the sort of foundation. And if I'm with somebody and they're suffering, it could be even a professional role where, like, I'm supposed to be there, but they're in their suffering. But maybe something's triggered in me, so I'm not really there in terms of my empathy, or I'm aware of my own distress, perhaps, or overwhelm, or worry, or something. Then I can sort of switch and kind of do this practice for myself, in a sense, and then kind of open my heart up a little, and then come back out.
Well, if you have a situation like this last shooting, and so it's easy to be empathetic and compassionate to all the people who were killed and the families who are suffering, because the shooter himself, who was probably mentally ill, you know, that's harder.
Yeah, so I want to bracket that right now. Well, next week, the practice will be embedded really in this. It'll really be embedded, in a sense, in the practice we did this past week, in this broadening compassion. I want to bracket that particular issue right now, but and just reframe it in the sense that anything that comes up for us as a difficulty, the practice can be used there. So, for instance, and I don't want to get into the shooting because it'll take up too much time, but a situation that occurs that's difficult or that maybe naturally triggers my empathy, so I'm having compassion, that's a perfect time to do Tonglen. I mean, just in the way that it's like presented, like traditionally. You open your heart because you have this spacious heart and you can breathe it in and breathe out the goodness, and it really triggers some sort of, I haven't seen any research, I've seen a few studies, I haven't seen a good study on Tonglen yet, but it feels to me like it's triggering something different in the brain than the act of compassion. I mean, the broadening compassion, there's this really sense of, I'm doing something about it, or something, there's a sense of confidence or efficacy or something maybe that comes with the practice, but that's the perfect time to do it on one level. But something else could come up. I could have resentment or anger. And it can also be done there, too. It's like, if that's perceived as something that's difficult for me to be experiencing, then I can breathe in that anger for a while with the self-compassion piece of, imagine how many people right now are struggling with this. May I have compassion for myself and all of us who share in this anger? And then as it opens up again, I can come back and do like the Tonglen type practice. So it's like a sort of, on the, I call it compassion on the spot, is kind of like feeling the situation. And or it could be like I'm opening to this tragedy and I'm really having compassion. Then suddenly I start thinking, my God, my kids have a good chance of getting mowed down in church one day. And so then the compassion then can suddenly turn into distress or worry. And then that for me would be a time to drop the and then do that same compassion. Think how many people right now have this going on. because I mean, for me at least, there's only so long I can stick with it before it's going to start triggering my own stuff. And then I think this practice is great because just whatever's there, you can do the practice with it. Then it's like breathing in the suffering of all the people right now who are really distressed, and breathing out comfort or what have you. Yes?
So I just wonder if there's any benefit to, as I did that exercise, thinking about a Christian, we think about Jesus being in our heart or the Holy Spirit being in our heart.
Yeah.
When I thought about breathing and suffering, I can't breathe in suffering, but my body can because of